Good evening and welcome to another edition of Penalty Spot. I'm Paul Lears and alongside me, of course, as usual, Curtis Hines. Welcome to the program. Well, coming up on this evening's edition, Thierry Gill talks about his signing his first official professional contract for Hungarian Premier League club Budapest FC. The countdown is on to the Barbados Football Association elections. And this evening, we talk to some of the candidates, including Rashid Belgrave, who is seeking the post of Senior Vice President. The big guns are doing battle for Champions League semi-final spots. Our team of analysts will be in to examine the results and make their predictions. And of course, we will be taking your calls. It's time to talk football on Penalty Spot in association with the Barbados Football Association. And welcome back to the show. Good evening to everyone. I see most of the guests are already in quite early. Good evening, Curtis. The good news coming over the last 2 days, Thierry Gill's story. I'm sure one that has made you quite happy.
Yes, indeed. Good evening to you, Paul. Good evening to the entire panel tonight. Nice to have you guys locked in pretty early. Good evening to all the fans as well. As usual, we're taking your calls 434-1780. You can also reach us via email, 18sports246@gmail.com. Or you can reach us via WhatsApp, those of you who have that particular link. But yes, Gill, that story has dominated the headlines since it broke, I believe, on Saturday night. He went off to Hungary at the age of 16. We wished him all the best. And he's gotten a three-year contract with the club. And must say, Paul, if he's been granted a three-year contract, thousands of miles away from home, definitely, they really do want him. Not just looking to fill squad numbers. He's very, very good. We know that. We've seen him here already. He's a confident young man. Very, very good striker. Good with the dead ball as well. And one of the very, very bright sparks for the future of Barbadian football. And I think that particular deal is where all these scenarios combine to make it the best possible in terms of his age, in terms of having parents who are willing to let him go at the age of 16 and not just to Trinidad or to Miami, but to Hungary of all places. And he's grabbed the opportunity with both hands. So congratulations to Thierry and his family. Dad must be really proud. Dad wasn't bad with the ball either, Paul. He was very, very good. The former Paradise and Barbados national striker. And it's really good to see another young Barbadian going off and flying the Barbadian flag.
Well, before we get some more discussion on that, we're going to hear from the young man. I spoke to him a bit earlier today, his new development.
Oh, first of all, let me offer you congratulations. And I want to take you back to the when you definitely found out and you got the news that, you know, you've been playing in this league. Tell me what the feeling was like.
To be honest, it was a fantastic feeling because this, like, I was always waiting for, you know. This is what I was working for from since I was young. So now I have it. I'm very, very happy. But it's not the end.
You were up there for at least, I think it's about a year or two now. Tell me what that stint has been like. What have you been doing during that stint?
That time, I was just training normally because I couldn't play it. I wasn't registered to play it, you know. But I was just training. Sometimes I was going through some difficulties because, you know, you're training for 2 years straight and you can't play. So you'll be more frustrated and stuff like that. So, but then it pays off, you know. So now I signed a contract. I'm very happy and I'm ready to work.
Go forward. What made it all change for you? What made it different?
From the national team days, you know, what an agent just called me, and then because he heard about me, my agent Kalman, and then he just moved me to here for trials, me and Jules, and then the club they take me, and they started from there.
Talk to me about the club. What's it like being at this club?
Well, you know, it's very competitive, you know, because there's a lot of players at the club, but the people, they are very nice, and the food and everything is very good. But the club is very competitive because everyone, they are good players. So you have to fight for a position. You know, you don't have choice. If you want to get in the first team or get in the first 11, you have to fight because the players that in the same position as you, they are just as good as you. So it's a very competitive club.
Having moved there for the first time, what is the big difference between playing there and training there than what you had experienced before here in Barbados?
Well, it's a big difference because the football, you know, is more competitive, and the country, you know, I'm not accustomed to the culture and everything, and the food and the cold. So it's a difficult change for me, but I actually hold it out, and then I got you.
You are now into the big league, so to speak, and I'm sure you're looking forward to playing for your club, to getting your first game at that level for your club.
Yeah.
Any idea when you will?
The first match of the season is Friday, so no one knows if I'm going to play or not, so I'm just waiting.
You now have the opportunity where you could very well be suiting up in, let's say, the Europa League.
Yeah. I have the opportunity. I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy.
Is it something you dreamed about in the past, getting to that stage?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't really dreaming about the Europa League, you know. I was mostly dreaming about Champions League, but it's always steps, you know. So I'm just taking the steps, and then soon or later, maybe I'll find my destination.
You think there's a chance for other talented young footballers like yourself from Barbados to make it up to that level?
If I think. Yeah, I believe, because there's a lot of talent in Barbados, so I believe there's a lot of guys that can come out of Barbados and reach the same level.
What do they need to do?
I think they only need to do is keep a strong head, you know, and don't give up, and always work hard, because you don't have choice to work hard, because even if you don't work hard, you'll just be on the bench, or they will just kick you out straight. Like, you don't have choice, because everyone is just as good. So it's not, you can't carry feelings, you have to have a strong head and just work hard. I believe.
Come from a footballing background, so to speak. Your father, Dwayne, would have played at the national level. Tell me what role he has played in your football.
I think he was a striker.
How has he influenced you?
Well, a lot, you know, because it was not only him, but he always used to push me, you know. Like, he was the biggest influence in my life in football. So everything he do, I wanted to do. You know, I always want to be like him, but sadly, I'm better than him, but yeah.
You would have come through the youth program right here in Barbados. You would have come under the guidance of a number of coaches. I'm sure that you, as you look back on now, you're very thankful.
Yeah, I'm very thankful. Especially Ronaldo Gilson. I'm very thankful for him coaching me.
Can I bring you into the conversation now?
Sure.
Yes. You know, you've watched this young man come up through the age groups. I'm sure you're pretty proud of him at this stage.
Yeah, man. I mean, super proud. I initially had the pleasure of working with Thierry as a 12-year-old, and he was coming into the under-15 team. He was actually the youngest member of the team then, and he always displayed a quiet confidence. He was always assured of his ability, and when I had the opportunity to coach him for a second time with his rightful debut, the under-15 team, his maturity has shown, because, as he mentioned, his dad had always been very supportive of him, and I remember his dad taking him up to England one time when there was a Canadian scout interested in him, but he opted to go to England, and it appeared that would have been the right choice, because he would have been going for England for a number of years, training at, is Fletcher Moss right, Thierry?
Yeah,
Fletcher Moss, which is a feeder club to Man United, and obviously that experience and exposure paid him well, and I mean, I don't think just me, but I believe all persons who would have had the opportunity to work with Thierry, Fabian Masaya, Greg Castani, Corey Barrow, a whole set of coaches would have definitely influenced Thierry's development over the years, and we're super proud. I believe the entire nation has to be super proud. The last time we had a homegrown professional would have been Lalu Goodrich, and a lot of us now who are in the game, like within my generation or around my generation, have had that experience to witness Lalu, but we've had the opportunity to witness Thierry, and I believe he's going to go on to bigger and better things.
As a coach, looking on, you've worked with lots of young players. Do we have more Thierry Gales here waiting to just go?
In terms of ability, yes. With regards to mindset, we have a couple. I think Thierry's, from the time I've known Thierry, traditionally most of the players I work with usually opt to go the college route. But from the time I met Thierry, Thierry always said, and you could ask him to confirm this, he wants to be a professional, he's going to be a professional. And that was from at age 12. He said that at age 12, and at 18 years old, it shows that his mindset was totally different. So I believe in terms of ability, we do. with regards to the mentality, we might, I'm not totally sure, but hopefully with Thierry's success, he can influence those and maybe utilize him as an ambassador of some sort to influence other players to adopt that mentality so that we can have many more players in Europe.
Thierry, that point that Ronaldo mentioned about from very early you wanting to be a professional, how you know, what gave you that early focus?
From watching, from young, I used to watch Ronaldinho from young, and I always say I want to be like him or even better than him. I always try, you know. Sometimes I even play the same position as him. So my mindset was always, I want to be a professional. It was always, I always used to tell him.
And it seems obvious that you're a big fan of Ronaldo.
Yeah.
What about him? What about him that you like so much?
His mentality and his hard work. I like him. I like, it's unbelievable. Coming from where he was then to where he is now, he gave me the motivation to go, to push.
And finally, you're definitely now looking forward to a big professional career ahead of you.
Yeah.
Well, Ronaldo, I'm going to give you the final words. I'm sure that you would want to say something to him at this stage as he takes up this, you know, this new challenge in his life.
We talk pretty often and I speak to his dad, but I just want to remind him that I mean, there's no pressure from here. I believe that I jokingly say he's on the same pedestal as Rihanna, but I believe from a sporting perspective, he has that promise, he has that opportunity now to basically lead from the front. And as I say, no pressure. I believe Thierry is going to go on to do Barbados proud.
Thierry, thanks a million for joining us on Penalty Spot. Ronaldo, thanks again, and of course for all the hard work that you've helped to put in to get him to this stage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, Thierry Gill speaking to Paul Mears and Ronaldo PB Jiltz there at the back end as well. Young man definitely had a plan from early, and good to see it paying off once again, getting a 3-year contract with the Hungarian club. Got a message while the interview was in progress. Is he as good as everyone says? Yes. Simply, yes. He's pretty good. I'm curious, there's lots of room for development, but I think he's off to a pretty solid start. On the line as well, we have one of the coaches, in addition to Coach Jiltz, would have seen young Thierry Gill. And let's say good evening to Alison and John. Good evening to you, sir. And dream come true for Gill. Take us back to the early days. How was he as a young player? I think you might still be muted. I think we're not hearing him as yet. Yes, indeed, Alison. Go ahead. I'm barely hearing him. Seems we have a slight issue there. We try to get that one sorted, but until we try once again. Ronaldo, he really was a young player. I remember him playing for his school team, St. Leonard's. He very, very well scored goals for fun. He was very focused, very dedicated, and I think what he said at the back end was key. He wanted to be like his dad. He's now of the opinion that he's better than his dad. I'm sure dad will have something to say about that. But he was very, very focused. And if he can be as good as his dad, well, he's going to be pretty good.
Hey, well, good night to you, Curtis, and the rest of you guys on the panel, all those who are listening. I've had the pleasure, to be honest, of working with both Gales. I played with Dwayne when he had the season over at Notre Dame. And he, believe it or not, Dwayne was like a mentor to me. He was one of the guys who actually was supportive of me being in the dressing room at such a young age. When he came to the club, I was actually breaking into the team at 16. So I guess, as they say, what goes around comes around, because then I had the opportunity to work with Thierry. And it has always been a pleasure working with him. I mean, we've had our challenges. We would have had times where we would have had to convince each other, so to speak. But I can't explain how proud I am of Thierry. How proud the island is. I'm sure Alison is as well. I can't wait to hear his comments on Thierry, because I know he would have worked with him at a pretty young age. So hopefully we can get that started out. But Curtis, you would have remembered when in my final season at Notre Dame, I would have brought in Thierry along with a couple of the sevens that I was working with. And Thierry had 7 goals in 3 matches. in Premier League at 16 years old. So if that was a testament to his ability and what he's capable of, I mean, I don't know what was. And then when he had his debut against Bermuda, he didn't look out of sorts at any time. He was 15 years old, playing in the senior men's team. And I remember he had that one opportunity in one-on-one, which, yes, knocked over the crossbar after he was played through by Deshaun Howell. And he missed, but he never looked out of sorts. He never looked like a teenager who was featuring in his debut game. So that's what he said in the interview with Paul. He always had this quiet confidence. He always had this type of ability that he could achieve anything. And I hope that, well, not I hope, I am certain that he will use those qualities while in Hungary, and maybe in another 5 years or so, we may be watching him in the Champions League semi-final.
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember the debut for Notre Dame, and as you said, he looked like he belonged. He had a handful of goals in very, very short time, and it looked like every time he got the ball heading towards the box, he could score. The defenders woke up very, very early to the trick, knew they had to try to mark him out of the game, and they still couldn't stop him. I think he has the right physicality as well. He's a well-built young man, powerful, strong, good in the air. And for me, the highlight of his play so far for the national team had to be the free kick he scored.
Free kick, yeah. Against St. Martin, yeah.
Brilliant free kick. Placed the ball, he said, no, I'm going to take this. If you remember, we had established free kickers in the team at that point. And he was like, no, I'm going to take this. And the skipper said, okay. And he put it right in the corner. And he was off celebrating first national goal. And a really great moment for young Thierry Gill. We're going to try for Alison once again, who would have also seen young Gill at an early age. Good evening to you, Alison.
Good evening, Curtis.
I'll be barely hearing you again. I'm not sure why. We need to get a bit closer to your device, but we are barely hearing you. But let's try. What your earliest memory? Your earliest memory of Thierry Gill? What was he like as a young player?
He was skillful. You hear that? Let me say.
And I think
I think I heard you say he was skillful. Yeah. I heard that.
Yeah, losing Alison again. We're going to really work on that one. Worst case scenario, we'll have to call Alison at some point and try to get him on the line. Alison, stand by. We'll try to get that one worked out. My dad, Paul, always talented. His dad was very, very talented as well. Dad would have played for Paradise at the height of the Paradise versus Gall Hill rivalry. And my hope is that this is the first of many, that a lot of the younger players in particular will see that it can be done if Gill has gotten it done at the age of 18. And more importantly, that it doesn't really matter where you get your start. He's going to Hungary. We can do MLS. We can do Europe. We can go next door. But the idea is to get our players playing further and to get the development process sparked.
Yeah, now before we slip into our next section, the BFA election is coming up. Let me just mention before I get some lines from my comments that he's a product of St. Leonard's boys, of course. Mike would certainly want me to mention that. And of course, those would have coached him while at school there. I'm sure that they are also feeling extremely proud of his achievement today. If we can get Alison sorted, I'm sure we can get back to him at some point in time. Unless we have to give him a shout. We're going to switch right into our next segment on the show.
And hey, Paul, quickly before
can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think Alison went for a change of device. We have you clear, Alison. That has done the job. And before we head to the BFA elections, your memories of Thierry Gill?
Yeah, Thierry, I would have worked with Thierry at under 9 during the time at ProShotters, and he would have been dominating the primary school league in those times. One morning, I turn up to watch a primary school game with him, I think, against West Terrace or Deb. And Thierry loved the ball. And once Thierry passed the ball to you to receive, and he doesn't get it back, he's get rafted. So at the interval, I went over to him and I spoke to him. I said, Thierry, you got the skill, the talent to destroy, but I would like you to now pass to the nearest person as far as passing it wide. If you pass it wide, you're not going to get it back. And he still loved the ball at your feet. So pass to the nearest supporter and the rest. So, but on the other hand, do not lose your cool. and he followed the instruction and he went on. He dominated, he destroyed, he scored about 5 or 6 goals in that game. And he was determined from an early age. But I would have dealt with him for at least 2 seasons at Pro Shooters. And he was so excited, he would go home and tell his dad, Dwayne Letty Gale, who was also a striker under my guidance at the national team, assistant to Cab Lane. And so Thierry would go home and tell his dad, "Man, I'm working with a coach there at Pro Shooters, man, he's real good." So his dad will ask him, "Who is that coach? Give me a name." He said, "Man, I think it's called it Big John." He said, "Stick with him. I passed through, so he's a good man." And I am overseas now in Trinidad to the past five years, following the fortune. So I'm very proud and happy. So that is why he went through all the necessary things to contact to get information from Oki to get in contact to be part of the program. So I'm here and I'm excited as well.
And finally, what would you say is his main strength? Is it the pace? Is it the ability in the air, skill with the ball?
A combination of all. Skill with the ball, determination, the will to win. He don't like to lose and he doesn't like to see a goal score against him, which I don't like neither. I don't like to see goals behind me. All is in front. For example, when I was coaching Youthland, and every game I keep stats, and I told the guys, do not concede, do not concede. So you find that at the end of the season, in all aspects of football knockout, we scored a total of 46 goals and conceded 6 for the entire season. Because we like to keep clean sheets and that sort of thing. Not that you score up, then you score against me. And Thierry followed the same thing, and he's determined to score. And as Ronaldo said earlier, that at the age group, because I'm away, so I won't see, and I won't know, that I think at club level or in national team, he scored, I think he said 7 goals in 3 games, something so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, right, that's correct, yeah.
So he started from early. And the old adage goes, bend the tree while it's young. Practice, make perfect, permanent, whatever. And the rest is history. And we could only wish him well. And at 18, he was 18 on the 1st of May. He has a bright future in front of him. And listening to him speak a while ago on the program, and thing with Ronaldo, he had him for the right damn thing. So work with him, keep in contact with him, and so forth. As a matter of fact, I spoke with Dwayne about 2 hours ago, and Aki. So as you guys out there, keep in touch with him and push him to the next limit.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Coach, for the memories of a young Thierry Gale. And once again, I'd like to wish him all the best in his future endeavors. Well, Paul, we've had a bit of a delay, but still set for a BFA election. I believe it's September 6th. Nominations close, I believe, next week after a special meeting and resulted in the election date being put back and the reopening of the nomination process. And we have a number of the candidates on the program tonight.
Yes, very much so. We have 3 of the persons vying for positions on the executive, and I'm going to introduce all 3. Then we're going to have a discussion with them. We have Rashid Belgrave, who's there now. Good evening, Rashid.
Hi, good night.
And also Christian Remy. Christian?
Yes, good night. Good night.
And I believe Omari Eastman is also with us. Good evening, Omari.
Pleasant good evening, Paul.
Great to have you guys. And I'm going to put the question to all 3. Let's start with Rashid. Rashid, you are running for the position of senior vice president. That's held at the moment.
Yes.
At Walcott. I believe there's someone else also vying for that position. So as far as I know, up to this point, they have 3 persons vying. For the listeners who might not know, give us a little bit of your background and also tell us, why are you running for this position?
Hi, good night. Good night to the panel members. Good night to you, Mr. Mears. My name is Rashid Belgrave, currently the president of Water Football Club. Basically, just for a brief background, I played football from the time I was in the womb. By co-league, banks tournaments on the Garrison Savannah, school league, soccer night school. I played for the under 17, under 20, under 21 national teams. My core, Mr. Jilks. Used to stand next to me in the midfield, holding the fort. Yeah. But those were some good pastimes. I embarked on study overseas. Went to England, obviously. Well, if you don't know, my profession is an attorney at law. Basically, I went overseas and studied law. I came back in 2013. And I came back a couple pounds heavier. So I thought it only prudent to let the later fellows play the football. And basically, I found that my skills were a little better at a little managing and administrating. So basically, by default, I became the president of the club. Well, at one point, I only received the official title like a year or two ago, but I was functioning in that capacity for the last 8 years. And basically, I never played for ECM national team, but probably after they didn't know people like PV and Ronaldo, just those fellas cannot get any player, but that's Rashid Belgrave. In relation to the question, why am I running for this position? It's basically, it's very simple. I don't have a full paragraph of words to say. It's basically for the betterment and the advancement of football in Barbados. Basically, my vision for the football is to take it from where it is now into something more economic and lucrative, not only for the players, but for the communities. Because if you don't know me, I'm a grassroots person, yeah? Because of this whole fiasco with the elections, we had a meeting with the sports minister, and he gave the connotation was an urban background. So a person such as me that come from an urban background is only to see football be the livelihood, not only for players, but communities and every other place across the country. Football could get their hands in to tie in to allow persons to enjoy the game and also benefit from it long term.
How do you see your chances?
As we continue, the penalty spot just about 6:43. I have a couple of questions. Some guys are asking about European football. Just hold tight. We will get there. Hold on. I need to deal with the BFA stuff. First, next, we'll go to Omar Eastman, well-known, has been a long-standing member of the successful Weymouth Bills team, building a dynasty over the past, say, 5 or 6 years, the dominant force in local football. Good evening to you once again, Omari.
Good evening, Curtis.
Good evening. Which position are you running for? And same question, what inspired you to run and what would be your focus if elected?
The position I'm running for is junior vice president. A little background about myself. I was involved with football from when I was 8. I would have came through Empire, Gore Hill, and recently Wales. I would have represented my country at all levels. From under 16 up to the senior team. I was so fortunate to have a scholarship in football. So I think that what football has done for me, I would like to give back. And I think that right now there is the development and the standard of football is not where it was when I was playing. And I think that here is where I come in, that I could just try to tweak certain systems or help try to improve the football. And that is my main aim for the development of football, to improve the standard that persons can look and commercial sponsors will like to come on board for our administration to improve and really improve the transparency. Because what transpired that the AGM would have had to be extended to a new date is really lack of transparency. So the association needs, we need to be transparent. We need persons who have good character, who shows integrity, and that is where I come in for football. And especially now that the women's league for the last 2 years, and with FIFA having so much money that it needs to women's football, I just want to be a little bit more vocal and outspoken and help with the development of that sort.
Okay, Omar, well said. Up next, we have Christian Renwick. When last we heard, former manager, I should say, of the UWI Blackbirds team, was a part of the team when they clinched the title, if I am not mistaken. Good evening to you, Christian. Same set of questions. Yes. Which position are you running for, and what are you looking to bring to the table?
Okay, good night all once more. The position I'm running for is the treasurer. Being involved in football for several years at all levels, player, not national level like some of the other guys here, but player nonetheless for several teams. I started coaching quite a while ago. Manager, yes, you're correct, of the UWI team from about 2006 and up to our premiership win in 2016. And also the administrator. So while I was managing, I was the administrator, and at UWI we are called sports coordinators. So I was the sports coordinator for football. And I would have, learned a lot over that 10-year period, being involved in administration in a well-structured environment at the university, and working alongside Ricardo Cracker Goddard and his wealth of knowledge, I have reached the point where I believe my experience and education along the lines of accounts and economics and a postgrad in financial and business economics, I'm able to really assist and serve the football fraternity to ensure that it needs to go and develop where it should be.
What stands out for me, Paul, is that we have two running for the vice president's positions, senior and junior, treasurer as well, but all young men trying to be involved in the football administration. As you know, not just in football, but in sports generally, in Barbados, we've always had an issue with administrators being there for a while. The administrators that we have for the majority of sports are pretty much veterans in across the board. Cricket, football, basketball was the case, the netball, hockey, whatever is the case. Guys, any of you can answer. What's been the response? Do you get the impression that the clubs, the players themselves, are looking for a change, or are they looking for more of a tweak in terms of the vision for football and what we've been doing so far? Following the meeting with the BFA, the overwhelming viewpoint that I got from all parties, both the BFA and the clubs, is that everyone wanted to pull in the same direction. They want stuff for the betterment of Barbadian football. But what's been the response to you guys saying, okay, we want to put our hats into the ring and we want to change perhaps the future of football in Barbados?
And okay, I will go. Go on,
Rashid.
Yes, Rashid. Okay. Thank you, sir. Kindly, Mr. Eastman, sir. Basically, I think the response has been positive, even leading up to the extraordinary meeting, as they called it. But to be honest, just to make a solid point, in leading up to the meeting, the extraordinary meeting where they voted for the nomination process to go over, when in contacting some people, you know, when you speak to them about the issues that were going on, they were like, man, you know what, the BFA is doing a lot of foolishness, man, but I don't pay any attention to them. Now, if that is the mentality, that was the mentality pre the meeting, but post meeting, though, I think there's a huge surge in information passing around, so there's a huge surge in interest. So basically, as you could see before the whole issue came up, there weren't many people interested in running for positions.
We've lost you, Rashid. I think something is unplugged.
Sorry. So pre the meeting and post the meeting, there's a surge in interest in what is going on in BFA, where we came to this situation and what we had to do a vote where it was 37 in all. So basically, the influx of information, I think, has generated a lot of interest in the elections and also what is going on in football. There are people that have been basically saying, man, I wasn't involved in football for the last 3 years. I don't know what is going on for the last 3 or 4 years. But now we have interest and persons are calling you, expressing what they would like to see change in football. So some of the talking points are not only from researching what the BFA did, but persons with personal experiences as to what they would like to change for the betterment of football in Barbados.
Okay. Omari?
What I would say, I think from my experience, I have been on the ground, and me on the ground hasn't started recently. I would have started this journey last year around November. Remember, initially the AGM was supposed to be for March 22nd, and it was postponed due to COVID. Yeah, around there. So ideally, I was just trying to reach out to clubs and see how we could improve. What is good, let us keep, and what is not so good, we would have changed. Ironically, there weren't much good things being said, and I found that disturbing in that it was more of a facade that things are perceived to be good. And I'm not here for any mud throwing or anything like that. I'm just here whether I run for a position or not. Regardless, Curtis, I can be wrong football because that's my hobby. My main interest is to see football improve. For instance, Curtis, in 2012, we were ranked 143. 2020, we are between 165 and 168. And now we have a foreign coach, we have a foreign technical director. And to me, I don't want to, I'm not here to knock anybody, but when I look at the statistics and when I look at the facts, we have worsened, we have dropped. And the same could be said for women's football as well. In 2018, I'm more sure we were, I think, around 45. I think we're now 50. And when I was playing, I started in the senior national team around 18, and I would have played probably about 11 to 12 years consistently, or toured. But sometimes I would have toured and sometimes don't play. But the level and standard of football, like when I was a person who used to come and watch football, like leave home to watch a player, watch a team. I mean, I look around in the stands when I was playing recently, like, the attendance is very poor, and who's attending are really players. And we need to provide, the reason why I want to get into football, that football needs, the standard needs to be raised so that we can develop a product that persons come back to football, that corporate sponsorship are willing to become involved in football, that they see this as a great advertisement. I have so much passion about it, and I just really want to see football improve, and I think that we need to do better at our development strategies. How we actually implement these strategies, how we set goals and objectives, how we measure them, and then how we could go back and see what has worked and what hasn't worked. And really and truly, I cannot sit back and see Barbados football having regressed, and me loving the sport so much, given that, see, we need to have more theories out there. What is in place for me to get more theories out there? And that's a question I would just throw. What is in place? How had the BFA really supported Thierry when he was overseas at 16? Had the BFA linked support monetary? Had the BFA linked support physical, psychologically? As he said, that it was really tough, and he's only 16. He had a strong head. But suppose he didn't have a strong head, Curtis. So my thing is, like, when things got tough, like, what plans were in place that we could have helped Thierry? He may have run it financially, but he may have needed somewhere else to sleep. We don't know the background of Dwight or his family. But this is where the BFA needs to come in, that we go all out and support our athletes. And if it's a case where that we know we did our best on our part and in the workout, well, you know, our conscience are clear, because, you know, we really supported our own and we really gave them the best chance to succeed.
Okay, we would need a clarification on the BFA in terms of what happened and what didn't happen. We have some questions coming in. One says, I guess, Christian, you can take this one. If you had one change to make, magic one time, what would you change now for the future of football going forward? Let's say you got the chance to do it tomorrow. What would you change?
That's a very good question. Because there's several things I think needs addressing, but I will go to the foundation and I will say the youth. As you know, or may not know, the football plays a bigger role than just getting Thierry Gale or, you know, a national team or Premier League. Football has a whole social impact on young people in society. And I think the development of football is very important to have the youth system or the youth programs, the youth competitions in a collaborative, in a very fun. I like, especially at a young age, it's important to have fun in football. And I think you need to take out some of the competing. I find there's too much competition, especially at a young age. And even parents kind of can't control themselves. And I think the psychological impact on a young child of losing or even winning, it can be a negative impact on a young child believing, you know, the psychological impact. So I think psychologically, physically, in terms of the fields and the proper surfaces, is very important. And once you have that foundation in youth, you need to have the fun and get lots of people playing. The broader the base, the higher you can build. So it's important to keep children, and as they go get older, being able to play and continue playing and enjoying it without feeling pressured. So I'll say the whole youth system and how we collaborate, the competitions between the schools league, which I believe is very important for development of youth players, the clubs, who are also very important, and the national team when they get to, you know, the young nationals. And these entities must collaborate, because at the end of the day, they're pulling from the same pool of players, and the pressure only ends up on the individual players. So I'll have to go with that one. Thanks.
I have a WhatsApp coming in that I'm sure the gentleman will be interested in hearing. It's from Juan Jack Bovell. and he's given his team to run the next to be the executive of the Barbados Football Association.
Good evening, Jack. Go ahead, Paul.
Jack is saying he has endorsed the following persons to serve on the next council of the BFA: Randy Harris for president, Rashid Belgrave, the senior vice president, Omari Eastman as junior vice president, Adrian Donovan, senior assistant secretary, Simeon Alsop, junior assistant secretary, Christian Renwick for the treasurer. So, gentlemen, you've been given an endorsement.
What I must say, though, Paul, before we resume, is what I want, regardless of being lose or draw for anyone involved or the current administration, we need people to come out and vote. Don't let the election pass by and then grumble and say, man, I wish this had happened and that had happened. The process has been extended. You have a wider pool of candidates. This is what the club say they wanted. And we need people now to come out and vote. So when the next executive is elected, we can't have people saying, well, this person wanted to run and didn't. The next person wanted to run and didn't. Paul, I'm not sure if you have inside info, but to my knowledge, as yet, I have not heard of anyone challenging Randy Harris as president. And I find that to be interesting.
Not as far as I'm aware. I've not heard of anyone yet challenging for the post. So, president, what I would want to ask the two gentlemen, they can answer quickly. How do you all see your chances? You think you can pull it off? Omari, you think you'll be the next junior vice president?
I can give you an emphatic yes. If I didn't think so, I would have started. I'm a winner. If you have ever seen me on the football field, I'm very competitive. I'm a very fierce competitor as well. In Mr. Chapman, he's very fierce as well.
That's right.
So I do believe my chances are as good as anyone. I'm willing to do the work that's required to come up victorious.
Rashi, how do you see your chances? You're up against two big guns, man.
Yeah, for sure. By all accounts, all media reports have been citing the senior vice president debut as you know, the creme de la creme, the race where you got Usain Bolt and some other people. Obviously, I'm referring to myself as Usain, but some other people behind him. But basically, what I'm bringing to the table offering, as I would say, is basically I am young, relatively young, educated, and a very determined young man to see football become better in this country. Now, thank you very much to, let me just say to Mr. Jack Bavel for his endorsement. And basically, with some added work in contacting the clubs and hearing their positions on what they would like to change. It's about engagement, case in point. Now, the issue that happened with the annual general meeting, some persons did not know about what was going on. So first and foremost, you can see there's a communication issue in communicating these kind of issues to clubs and the administrators and persons dealing with these clubs. Secondly, you have an incumbent and you have a person who was part of the executive before. So basically they will be coming with some level of support and experience to see it. But given what has transpired, not only in the last few months, but over the last several years, as Omar cited, we dropped to 168. And basically, even if you consider, I heard Omar made mention of playing for the national team. No, basically, I played for the national team at around 17, 18 years old. I am 33 years old now, 16 years ago. And at that time, you would have got $100, 100 US stipend when you go on a trip to represent the country. From my understanding, things haven't changed. And like I said, I played for the national team 16 years ago, and persons still receiving $100 or $200 in stipend. I mean, when you talk about advancement and development of the game, 16 years ago, we should not be 2 feet in front where we were several years ago. Now, the FA receives a FIFA grant every year. All members receive FIFA money every year. But basically what I'm saying is that if 10 years ago, Jamaica and Barbados was receiving FIFA grants, basically, well, based on the criteria you put forward to FIFA, you receive a grant to commensurate to what you put forward. So basically, if 10 years ago, let me just say, we're starting at zero, Jamaica and Barbados was receiving FIFA money, FIFA grants for the last 10 years. And if we look at Jamaica's football program and the feats and the achievements that Jamaica has done, and we look at what Barbados have achieved, you can only look at one thing. We have not been managing our resources efficiently. And basically, as the FA, you can't be dependent on FIFA money every year. You have to engage different strategies to develop different income revenue streams for the BFA to operate. Now, basically, every year it can be, I haven't received my prize money because the BFA waiting to receive grants, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, what I'm looking to put forward, if I do get in, it's basically the FIFA money will be supplemental to what the FA would be using as income to help fund some of these programs, like the Women's League. You want to expand the Youth League. I mean, in terms of cutting costs, if there's a situation, if you're saying that to put on games on the weekend is a very expensive fee. Now, if you designate, this is just thinking on a grassroots level, this is not a grand plan, but if you designate at least one field, let me say Ellerton or some other field, to play football during the weekend and move the football from the turf, where you're saying that basically is expensive to put on a game, and move it to a pasta where you could manage, the BFA will be dedicated to managing this pasta. Now, let's use a dollar as an example. If it takes you $1 to put on a match on the weekend, and by moving to another designated pasta, it costs you 25 cents. Basically, you save 75% in cost every weekend. And if you continue to do that for a month, the BFA will have some sort of extra money that you could put into other tournaments. Because you would like to expand the beach tournament, you would like to expand women's football, you would like to put a substantial amount of stipend in your national players' pocket, because football in this country is a volunteer sport for managers, for coaches, goalkeepers, everybody who's associated with football. There's no significant amount of money put into football from the private sector or from the government. So the BFA has to be, you know, more efficient and more imaginative in coming up with ideas, sort of bringing streams of revenue into the BFA.
Yes, I have a quick question for you, Rashid, before you continue. Really running out of time. Someone asking, would you be willing then to sacrifice the quality of the field and the quality of play at the Wilby Turf and move football to the outside venues in this search? I guess they mean in the search for additional revenue, being cheaper to play, well, lights, if you have to pay for the lights at the outside venues.
Right. So the thing is, the person is talking about sacrificing quality. Now, Thierry playing on the turf and Thierry playing on Ellington doesn't drop the quality of his football. Basically, you're trying to spark the interest of football, because as Omari with a reference earlier, the numbers that are turning out to football are very poor. So what you have to do is you have to regenerate or rejuvenate the interest in football. So moving football back into the community somehow. So if Thierry is not playing at the turf, people are not willing to go there, but people are willing to come out and watch this young man play. They're watching this Saturday, they're watching the next Saturday. I say, well, then when the match is moved to the turf, a whole crowd going to watch him. And basically that's income coming in for the BFA. So what I'm proposing is to generate interest, because you're not going to get a sponsor coming and put money in football like how one would do in Germany or England. You have to create that level of security, composure, and some operational strategy to show the whole of Barbados, the private sector, and the footballing community that football moving up and not regressing.
Quick question to you, Rashid, on something that you mentioned earlier about the generating new revenue streams and not being dependent on the FIFA funds for the competition. Because as far as I'm aware, the FIFA funds are not used for local competition. I think they're mere for specific other areas.
Right. So you receive FIFA money based on the criteria you put forward. Now, basically, if Barbados has a men's league, youth league. Now, if there's no women's league, but if you had a women's league, you will probably get money, you'll receive money to fund the women's league. But we don't have a women's league, so our criteria is short of basically what they would put in for the women's league, we would not receive. So what I'm saying, right, is that if you engage in a strategy to bring in income, the FA, Barbados Football Association, would be able to put money into that women's league, right? You can sponsor the women's league, and when the FIFA money come in, follow me, when the FIFA money come in, it will be only supplemental to do things that basically are not necessary, not a necessity to the league. Some amenities, maybe.
Is that what it is now, Rashid? That the funds are not used for the
if Paul, if I could interject, if you don't mind, with reference to, we really can't move based on an assumption that is brought to your understanding that the money doesn't go towards local competitions. What would be ideal is to see our annual financial statements, our budgets, to see where the money is spent. You really can't go and speculate. So it's difficult to speculate. What would be ideal is if we can, well, I would request, or I guess it becomes open, at least I think the Constitution says 1 week before the AGM, to see the annual financial report from the BFA, to see where money was spent, where money comes in, and then we could look at our budgetary proposals to see where we could add or take away from the budget to move forward. So ideally, I would not like to speculate how money is spent, because there are maneuvers that you can do to get around that. And I don't think it would be fair to say that it'd be ideal to have the facts, and once we have the facts, then we can say definitely where the money goes to. Do you agree with me, Paul? You think that's a fair point?
But what I'm saying, let's say if you become the junior vice president tomorrow, if that criteria is set, that FIFA is saying that these funds are for these particular things, and I think it's development, right? That's what they're mainly for, development. Then if the criteria is set, then those funds, and I'm saying that if you should become part of that executive, then your duty is to ensure
that those funds are used for what they're supposed to be used for and not for competition.
I totally agree.
Right. And it would be the other revenue stream that you're talking about.
It would be a board's decision to help enforce that the money that they allocated goes to what it says it should do.
Right. Just let me be clear. I'm not saying to use the FIFA funds to do other things. I'm saying we're putting forward the criteria to receive the FIFA grants. However, all right, let me use Germany or England for example. Every member receives money on Germany or England or richer countries than Barbados. They have a stronger, better setup league in their countries. However, what I'm saying is that in Barbados, in Germany, there may be other things they have, like TV rights. They can receive a lot of money from TV rights. We don't receive TV rights in Barbados. So all I'm saying, there's other things that we should engage in. Look, in other countries, they may receive money, substantial amount of money from the private sector. They may receive money from governments. Those things don't happen here. So what I'm saying that we have to get creative, because if we don't receive this money, we don't receive this huge injection of support or sponsorship from the private sector or the government, what we are dependent on is the FIFA grants. So put the FIFA grants aside, engage in strategies that could bring in more income for the FA, so that when this FIFA grant money comes, it will be only supplemental. We can engage in whatever we like once we have money to do it. When we go into town, with $100, we can only buy a shirt. But we go into the town with 500, we can buy shirt, pants, and shoes. So all I'm saying, with the more money coming into the BFA, more things we can engage in, more things we can expand in, but even setting up a second AstroTurf, right? Setting up an AstroTurf, helping clubs to bring in gear, because like I said, football in Barbados is a volunteer sport. A person managing a team, I want a new kit, has to go and look for $2,500 out of his pocket to bring that gear into Barbados. What I'm saying, at the BFA is engaged in such things, the BFA would be able to contribute money towards the clubs to help to bring in gear, or as a national association, engage some manufacturer, and if you buy in bulk, we should be able to get a discount, right? And so the clubs can benefit. So all I'm saying, we need to do something else than be dependent on FIFA money.
Okay.
Gentlemen, we're running out of time quickly.
We need more time now, Paul. Kurt. You need to speak.
We've not even had a chance to talk about those lashes put in Barcelona, man.
Well, hopefully one of these days we'll get 2 hours, but quickly we'll take a quick peep at it. Barcelona set to appoint Koeman as the manager after Setien is given the boot. That is a surprise to no one. In terms of today, Inter beat Shakhtar Donetsk 5-0 to reach the Europa League final. One team will not be the Europa League final. That's Manchester United. They were beaten.
There's an Inter fan here, Curtis.
There's an Inter fan? Who's he? Show your face.
The only one in Barbados.
That's a first, Omari. I've not heard of another one, man.
No, I know Inter fans.
You know when the real Ronaldo, the R9, Ronaldo de Lima was playing for Inter Milan?
Yeah, I know Inter fans. Paul was just pulling your leg, man. They are Inter fans. Inter Milan is a solid team. They've underperformed of late, but they're a solid team.
With a very rich history.
It's true.
Other news, Vincent Kompany is finally retired from Anderlecht. He's going to be full-time coach. Mbappe is fit for the Champions League semi-final. And Bernardo Silva is moving to Real Sociedad for, I guess, his last major contract. No real time to speak European.
David Silva, correct.
He's moving to Real Sociedad for his last major contract, and he's also set to get a statue in his honor outside the Etihad Stadium.
Anytime for this service. Yeah, the guys picks for the semifinals in the Champions League.
Quickly, guys, we have 60 seconds. Champions League semifinals. In fact, not semifinals. Give me a winner.
PSG versus Bayern.
Yeah, Bayern Munich has to be the favorite at this stage.
Bayern.
I'm seeing Corey Barrow. Was it seeing that face off in the corner? Good night to you, sir. Apologies, I didn't see you. Went to the bigger screen. The long-standing manager of the Everton team.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't see him over there. Yeah, good night. Corey, you get
a pick. Observing.
Champions League, pick one.
My team in there, but right now Bayern Munich is the team to beat now. But on the day of football, this player, Bayern moving like a train, I ain't got the brakes, bro.
Yeah, Barry looked pretty good.
Yes. You heard from Christian?
Christian, pick one. Champions League.
I say Bayern. I think Bayern were unfair a couple of years ago by some offside Cristiano Ronaldo Real Madrid goals. And I think they do. The football gods will not let that go down like that. So I believe Bayern deserve it, or long overdue.
Okay, I know Omari is going to pick his team for the Europa. Pick one for the Champions League now, Omari.
Bayern.
You missed anyone? Rashid?
Munich.
100. Okay, Paul, is unanimous tonight. Bayern Munich looking pretty strong. Yeah. Bayern Munich looking pretty strong. That's just about the final whistle. 7:15 in Barbados in the Eastern Caribbean. Apologies to the European fans. Really didn't get there, but had to deal with the local stuff. You can join us next week. Same time, same station, as we take another look at the world of local, regional, and international football.